Hello, everybody out there. This is the Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
My name is Dr. Kevin.
And my name is Kim.
And we are here today. We're going to talk about some ridiculous things, just ridiculous characters, ridiculous comics, just ridiculousness. I do want to, before we get started, though, I want to discuss something that I feel needs to be said. We had a passing recently of someone, and I just want to reach out into the netherworld, so to speak, and send good positive thoughts for this person. So I brought some good luck matches, my Mystic Museum spell candle, and a picture of the gentleman that I'm speaking of. This is Fabian. Fabian Nikichikani?
Yeah.
His career sadly passed away many, many years ago because he's a horrible writer. And I was kind of hoping if I did this for him, it would somehow magically make him have the ability to be able to write and to be a good comic book writer. So, Fabian, I'm doing this for you, sir. I have a picture of him here. Now, usually when you do a kind of spell casting, you have to use hair. He obviously doesn't have much on his head, so I got some of his back hair. Don't ask how. And I taped it to the back of the picture. So we have a picture of Fabian here and these matches and this candle. So I'm gonna light this real quick.
This is very disturbing.
Yeah.
There we go.
Just wondering what I got myself into.
And we're going to light this really quick.
Are you
now
serious?
You just light it for a second. You just light it for a second.
Oh.
And then you blow it out like that.
Okay.
And then that's supposed to basically bring back someone. And I figure if it works for, maybe for, the undead, maybe it would work for his career. You know, maybe it'll bring him back to some form of being a good writer.
Man, you are such a hater,
so,
sir.
Wow.
So, Fabian, that's for you, sir.
You're a hater, sir.
That was the pettiest thing I've ever witnessed.
You're not kidding.
in my life. Jesus Christ.
And with that...
Fabian, I liked your X-Men work. Don't worry about this fool.
There we go. There you go, wow. Fabian. The spell has been cast.
Okay in my book, Fabian.
If you hear he gets some type of good writing gig and it's actually a decent book, you have me to thank, everybody.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so let's get started. Look, when I put the match over there, it looks like he's got a mustache.
Aren't you glad you're his friend?
defined friend at this point in time.
Well, what's scary is you wonder what he does to his enemies.
Right? Like, I think he generally thinks that this is helpful.
Yeah, I think I helped him out a lot.
By the way, how much did you have to drink today, sir?
This is my first glass.
How much did you smoke today?
Oh, I don't smoke, sir.
Did you snort anything?
I don't inhale.
Did you snort anything?
Did you eat anything?
Did you inject anything into your body?
I just had Chinese food.
Okay.
Could be the MSG.
Mm. It might be something.
Yeah. It's that spicy chicken. All right, so who would like to go first? I guess it'll be me.
Okay.
Because I'm so cool.
Okay.
All right, so I want to talk about a character I've been chomping at the bit to discuss for a while now. This character... first premiered in a comic, and this is actually the character's name, sort of, the Bouncer. He first appeared in an unnumbered issue from Fox Features back in 1944, guys. Now, if you look at this picture, I'm pulling from the League of Regrettable Superheroes book, and if you look at this picture of the Bouncer, I, for the longest time, just thought this was a woman.
Oh.
I could see where at first.
He looks very... very feminine. I think it's more like the dress and the sandal look that threw me. But it's also the curly hair that's kind of long.
Threw you off.
And the wink on the face. Although I don't know if that wink was intentional or just poorly drawn. Basically, he's pretty odd. His superpower is he bounces. His secret identity, he's a statue. And his sidekick is his own descendant. He's a mythological figure, Antaeus, who, and this is his claim to fame, people, once wrestled Hercules. He not only draws his strength from the earth, as in the original legend, but he's also capable of rebounding from any fall, like a rubber ball. So, yeah. Yeah, so, not the best character in the world. Bouncer, he's a contemporary partner, make for a quite spectacle. Antaeus the Elder remains decked out in purple toga and sandals he wore in ancient times, while his descendant, Antaeus Jr., apparently can't be bothered to change out of his work clothes. Book of humor, thrills, adventure, and mystery. And I don't know why it says your favorite pinup. See, again, that's why it's confusing. You think it's a woman.
Hmm.
So, besides this character looking your favorite pinup, I still don't get it, but besides that, he has a very bizarre set of enemies. Like, here's a great one. The Glowworm. Mm-hmm. Mr. Lucifer. This is the best one. Mr. Lucifer is a circus clown who insists he's the devil. Yes. The Bouncer had another interesting gimmick. He invited his readers to join him on his adventures. Youngsters were asked to send in photos and descriptions of themselves, along, of course, with parental consent, because let's not make this creepy. True entries were chosen every month to enter the Comics Hall of Fame as the Bouncer's guest stars drawn into the adventures with Antaeus Jr. and his high-stepping predecessor. All told, it was an interesting ploy, particularly for a character who already possessed more gimmicky than most. So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be a little kid and, like, you read, you're like, oh, look at this nice older woman on the front of the comic. Maybe it'll be about sewing. And you pick it up, and it's not. It's about, like, Greek adventures and stuff, and he's punching people and bouncing and stuff, and you're like, yay, this is fun. And then, like, near the end, he's like, hey, buddy, how about you send me a picture?
Yeah.
Oh, no, ask your parents. But send me a picture, and I'll put it in the comic next time. Maybe I'll write you in. And then, like, next month, you see yourself in the book. How cool is that? I mean, as a kid, even when I was a youngster, if they'd drawn me into a Ninja Turtle comic, I'd have shit my pants.
Yes, you would.
I normally shit my pants, but I would have done it for that reason instead of just like my regular pants shit.
Yeah, it would have been like a happy shit pants.
Yeah. Happy pants shit.
Yeah. Instead of like the, oh God, what have I done?
My mom would be happy actually when she showed up with a spare pair of pants to school instead of, you know, the usual frown on her face and the look of dismay and sadness. Sorry, Mom. But anyway, that's mine. Who's next? What you got? Who's got it?
Okay, I'll go next.
Do it.
Very simple. This is a very ridiculous storyline, which should have been better. It was a sequel to the 1984 classic miniseries, Secret Wars. Secret Wars 2.
When did this come out?
1985.
85? Secret Wars 2 came out?
Yep, they capitalized pretty quick.
Was it called Secret Wars 2, More Secret Wars?
It should have been called that. But actually, it wasn't really much of a secret war, to be honest with you.
Secret Wars 2, the most secretest of wars.
Well, you know what's funny? It'd be the wrong title because it was out in the open. So it wasn't really a secret war. It was out in the open.
Well, that's dumb.
Whereas the original Secret Wars, you know, took place on a, you know, private world that the Beyonder created and all.
Oh, that's right. And he, like, pit people against each other.
Heroes against villains.
Yeah. So it was basically DC stole that idea, like, 30 years later and called it Convergence.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm surprised, coming from a DC guy, no less, saying that.
Oh, no, it was pathetic.
Oh.
I believe one of the writers, like, it was all put together. I can't remember who put it all together, but it was an interesting mix of, like, leftover writers and 90s, I don't want to say has-beens, but disappearers. Like, a bunch of, like, for example, I'm not saying Scott Lobdell is a terrible writer, and I'm not saying that he disappeared, but he did kind of fall by the wayside a little bit. And that's because a lot of the books he was writing for the New 52 were pretty bad.
Mm.
They were not good books, and almost every single one of them got canceled. So, or he left, and then somebody else took over the book. So he was kind of a fill-in writer.
Mm-hmm.
So he was one of the, like, he wrote a few of the Convergence stories, and then there were some of the other writers. One of the kings, not the one that everybody likes, the other king, or Kling. King or Kling, I don't remember.
Mm.
But anyway, yeah, the Convergence was just a terrible, terrible idea. And they only did that because they needed something to fill space while they moved their offices from New York
to Burbank
to, yeah, L.A. Exactly. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so basically, for those, Secret Wars was a classic miniseries that basically involved a cosmic entity that came from his own universe called the Beyonder, and he just wanted to see what things were like in this current Marvel universe, so he decided, let me find the best heroes and villains and have them have a nice little battle royale. And it was an interesting storyline. Dr. Doom was able to get his powers, and you know, you see Doom's face, you know, nice and clean, you know, without any scars, and eventually, of course, Doom was defeated. And the Beyonder, you know, ended things. So then the Beyonder in part two decides he wants to check out what's it like to be human. So he comes down to Earth. I guess it's almost like they're trying to do like a Jesus Christ metaphor in a way.
Oh, that always goes well.
Yes, indeed.
Christ.
So he starts living with humans. She starts observing human behavior, and he observes like a pimp and prostitutes. He's hanging out with them. And then, you know, he decides he wants to be a good person. So he, you know, changes people's lives. He basically decides he wants to become a hero all of a sudden. He wants to do good in the world, but he kind of does too much good or too much harm.
I was like, oh no, too much good.
But too much, you know, doing more than he should, so to speak. Then he adopts this weird, funky look. You know, the famous, like the jumpsuit with the Jerry curls. You've seen like the picture, right? What the Beyonder looks like in human form.
Jumpsuit with the Jerry curls?
Yeah.
It was Gallagher?
Oh, not exactly.
What, like squash watermelons and stuff with a hammer?
Think of like the 80s.
Because he was hilarious, let me tell you. Do you remember then when he sold his act to his brother? Did the Beyonder do that?
No.
This guy, Gallagher, literally sold his act to his brother, and his brother took over as the Gallagher.
I had no idea.
Yeah, because his brother looked just like him.
That's nuts.
I know, right? It was crazy. You don't know who's smashing watermelons at that point.
And people fell for that?
But the dude was awesome. I always wanted to go to a show. Does he still do that? Is he dead? I don't know.
I think he's still alive.
No idea.
Yeah, look. Here's what the fool looks like.
That's not Gallagher. Oh, okay. You're showing me.
It's what we're talking
about. You're showing
about.
Me the Beyonder.
Would you date a guy like that? Look at that smile.
You know, no, probably not.
Wait, he's too smiley for you?
He's got like the malicious smile on his face.
He
like,
looks
I'm
like.
I'm okay.
He looks like Ray Liotta. When he's about to go all murdery on Turbulence.
Yeah, like he's like, he has that like, everything's fine smile.
I feel like he's going to be like, this plane's not going to land, you know, like. So the Beyonder when he was in human form is Ray Liotta. We got it.
There we go. So he also was trying to experience different human emotions. So he wanted to fall in love. So he had a thing for Dazzler from the X-Men.
Ooh la la. So, didn't we all? But let's be real. I mean, you know what we're talking about, right, Kim?
Yeah.
Dazzler, that hot little minx on wheels.
Wow. But
what?
But poor Dazzler.
What?
Da-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Now, what's sad about this, though, is that Dazzler, you know, he really was falling for her, and she wasn't reciprocating. So what he did was he made her reciprocate. He basically mentally,
yes.
He kind of controlled her will.
The good old.
To make her.
Make the woman love you scheme, huh?
But then after a while, he realized, you know what, this isn't right. And he just let it go. And he said, okay, you know, if she's not going to naturally fall in love with me, then I'll move on.
Okay.
Then he kind of falls for another girl, another mutant, Nico, Boom Boom.
That's awkward.
So, poor Beyonder, he's trying to impress this girl, another girl, didn't really work out, he tries to beat up other, you know, villains and whatnot, oh, look what I can do, you know, because I'm the Beyonder, but, you know, it's real simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he even gave her some of his powers as well. But,
damn!
But, you know, he was basically a threat, you know, so everyone's freaking out, all the cosmic entities, he would beat up on them, you know, Galactus and all those guys, so he was trying to, like, everyone was just scared of him. Like, they don't want him around. Like,
this sounds awful.
To just go away. So the other theme they had going on was, like, acceptance for who you are and just trying to fit in. That's kind of like another theme in a way. So the Beyonder is kind of like a fish out of water in a way, you know? It's just like...
Because he's trying real hard to fit in.
Yeah, because he's basically this omnipotent being and everyone's freaked out. And, you know, he takes that human form. He's trying to fit in. And at the end of the day, he decides, you know what? I'm going to create a machine that actually turns me into a full human.
You know?
But Mephisto, of course, you know, he's... has his little dastardly deeds trying to, you know, take him down and whatnot, or get some of the power.
Got to love you some Mephisto.
Right.
So, devil-like character, by the way, for people that don't know Mephisto.
That's true.
Looks exactly like an image you would think of when you think of the devil.
Of the devil.
Like, real horny dude.
Lucifer.
And like, always like, meh, I went in your pants. Oh, wait, that's a different, never mind.
Different one?
Yeah, that's a different character. That's, what's Firefox?
Firefox.
Right?
Something like that.
Yeah. And he has the power of, sexual persuasion, wasn't it?
Something like
attraction?
That. Attraction.
Attraction power.
Mm-hmm. You talk about Thanos' brother.
Right, yeah, I don't want to say he was rapey, but he was kind of...
I mean, like, yeah, that kind of sounds like that.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody watches... does anybody here watch The Orville?
Mm-mm.
I haven't yet, no.
And I know this is going to date this episode because this will probably be canceled by the time it airs.
No, they just got picked up for season 2.
You're kidding.
Oh, for a full run of the season?
I think so.
Oh, congratulations to The Orville. It's a very well-written show, actually, surprisingly. I didn't want to like it, but I very much enjoy it. And this one of the more recent episodes here not too long ago, they did one where it was played by Rob Lowe. He played this character that his species goes into heat. And when they go into heat, renewed for season 2. Mm-hmm. Damn. And when they go into heat, of course, anybody that touches them is attracted to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, Seth MacFarlane accidentally touches him too. And then wants to have relations with Rob Lowe. He's blue, by the way. He's his color, not the act, but the color. Blue Rob Lowe. Anyway, it was a very interesting idea, and it made me think of the, you know,
Beyonder?
Star Fox, right?
Oh, Star Fox. Firefox. Star Fox. Yeah, Firefox is just the search engine.
Right. And then there's Foxfire, which I think is a James Bond video game from GameCube.
You don't say.
I think so. Or was it Skyfire? I don't know. Anyway. So back to Rapey McRaperstein.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, the Beyonder decides to become like a full, real-fledged human. So he creates this machine, he tests it out, and then as he gets in there, the Molecule Man comes in, destroys the machine, and then he basically dies. And the Molecule Man takes his essence and sends it to another dimension, which creates the new universe. Mary Rose books from the late 80s, so that's where it comes from.
Oh, wait, so Star Blazer?
I don't know, Nighthawk, yeah. I think
Star Blazer was one of them.
The Nighthawk or something like that.
Was Nighthawk part of it?
Starbrand.
Is Starbrand, that's it.
Yeah, Starbrand.
Starbrand is actually, he just was popped up in the Legacy comic from Marvel.
Really?
Which was interesting. Yeah, he's fighting the, I don't want to say Mexican Ghost Rider, what is his name? Robbie Reyes, I think is his name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why every Latin character that's in comics has to have the last name Reyes. Reyes.
Don't get it.
It's like Jaime, right? Isn't Jaime's last name?
Yep, Jaime Reyes.
Jaime's, yeah, whatever. I don't like characters, terrible.
But this is one of Jim Shooter's last projects, this crossover with Secret Wars 2 before he was let go.
Was he the, did he spur the creation of the new universe?
Yes.
Oof. Man, he really shit the bed there.
Well.
He probably just shit his pants and then laid in the bed, but still.
Today's podcast brought to you by shitting in your pants.
So, is there more? Is that it?
That's pretty much it.
That's it? Oh, damn.
I mean, it's just silly. I mean,
Do you own a copy of this?
I own a couple of copies of Secret Wars 2. I don't have all the issues, but I have most of them.
Oh, okay. They collected it, right? They had to have.
Yeah. But now, what's even sadder is they had all these different, like 33, I think they had like 33 other books that were tie-ins.
My God.
So, of course, it makes it worse. If you really want to go hardcore with it, you have to go to Avengers, yeah, Fantastic Four.
I used to do that. That was me. Like, with the, when DC did the Zero Hour thing, I went all in. From New Entertainment or Entertainment, whatever it was. I can't remember. They used to have the magazine subscription orders.
Mm-hmm.
And they were big in like the 90s. And I think it was like 93 or 94, DC came out with this idea where they had like 52 separate worlds, mm-hmm. parallel worlds, and they were going to combine them all into one. And they were just going to bring back everything onto one planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they called it Zero Hour. And every issue that came out, like a new issue, was a zero issue. So it was like the start. Sometimes it was a brand new character. Sometimes it was just resetting the character back to stage one where, like, it was a good jumping on point for everybody.
Then the main series would start, like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, that kind of
Yeah, zero, started with zero. Issue 5, I think, and then, yeah.
And then the cover, interestingly enough, kind of got more and more and more, you know, whited out, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, you could see, like, the cover, and then the next issue was a little more faded, and then the next issue was a little... Yeah, so it was very clever, and they created a package deal, and they sold me on it. It was like $50 or something, $50 or $60. You got all... like 30 or 40 of these issues, no joke. And they were all zero issues. So it was all like restarting the whole universe. And I was like, I'm so in. I'm going to read every one of them. And I did, to my credit, I read every one of them. Some of them are really awful. Like Anemia, I think was her name. It was a terrible comic. Some beautiful covers. Like I have one, I have a cover of her getting like injected by the Scarecrow for some reason. It was very odd. But it was a beautiful cover, just creepy as hell. But, you know, these types of gimmicks that they were doing, they happened. They were created. I think Shooter was the guy, wasn't he, that basically did this. He created the...
This type of concept, yeah. Yeah. Now, remember I mentioned something about the New Universe. One of the interesting titles that came out of the New Universe, that Jim Shooter, one of his last projects before he left Marvel, was DP7.
DP7.
Yes, it focuses on a group of seven paranormals on the run from a sinister medical facility.
Oh.
Created to deal with the booming paranormal population.
Okay, so it's kind of like Runaways in a way.
In a way.
Before there was Runaways.
Your boy Mark.
Because they were all younger, right?
Yeah.
If I recall.
Your boy Mark Grunewald was one of the creators.
Okay. All right. He's solid.
He's solid.
They did, they just brought back Squadron Supreme.
Did they now?
Yeah, Squadron Supreme. They brought back not too long ago. It was actually a very popular issue. They killed Namor. They beheaded him. Hyperion did.
The Hyperion?
Beheaded Namor, yeah.
How could they do that?
I don't know. It was dumb. But he beheaded him, and it was just like James Robinson was writing it. And James, I'm sorry, but your time has passed. I don't know why he writes these things now, but he just goes for shock value, and it just doesn't work. But they put one of the characters from that DP7 in there, and his name was The Blur.
Mm-hmm.
He was like their Flash kind of like character that had super speed. And they called him The Blur because you could never see him, you know, exactly, because he was moving so fast. Right. He was a blur.
I remember, there was an Autobot named Blur. Remember the micro machine guy did his voice?
Yeah. Oh, from the movie, yeah.
And the TV show.
Was
well.
That in the TV show?
Yeah, he was.
Wait, was he the motorcycle?
No, that's... Gosh.
Who was that?
That's Wreck-Gar.
Okay. I liked him.
Yeah, Wreck-Gar was cool.
They had the Weird Al song.
And they had the, you know, the weird Genghis Khan type look.
Yeah. It was Dare to be Stupid.
Yeah.
Dare to be Stupid. What did I say? No. Okay.
That's good. That's good stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good soundtrack.
Yeah. I mean, that's like one of your favorite movies of Transformers, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that was a
great time. That movie.
That was a great time for Marvel.
All right, so around that time as well, though.
segue.
They created NFL Super Pro comic book that was published from 1991 to 1992. It had 12 issues and one special issue as well.
What was the special issue? What was so special?
I don't know. I have no idea, but it was plus one special. So
We're like all the famous NFL players in the issue.
No,
at the time
it wasn't even that. It was centered on Phil Grayfield, an ex NFL player who survives a freak accident and wears a near indestructible football uniform.
Oh my God!
Wow.
And it was published along
him shoulder pads.
Who thinks that's a good idea? Who was like, we're green lighting this? You know what? Like, what the fudge?
I mean, maybe NFL was suffering at the time because they partnered with them.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Like, maybe they're like, hey, football's not hitting.
True. Joe Montana was coming towards the end of his career. You know?
Yeah. Well, maybe
Bo Jackson had already gotten hurt.
With they were promised at least a 13 issue run, and then they had to cancel it at 12, and they were like, okay, we'll do a special issue. God damn it, NFL.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you'll do that special issue. You'll do it.
It is called one of the worst comics in Marvel comic history, in recent Marvel comic history.
I believe it. I kind of want to read it, but I don't. Kevin, can you read it and just tell me about it?
Sure.
Yay. God, that would be awful. Did it say what team he played for?
I didn't.
Why would you read that?
Here's the thing is he was an aspiring football player, so he wasn't on a team.
His career ended when he saved a child from falling and suffered a horrific knee injury.
I see.
Is how this all happened. So he was had big dreams to join the NFL.
A compound fracture ended it all.
Was it just Tonya Harding? I'm just asking.
Yes.
I knew it.
She came in.
I think there's a movie about her coming out.
There is.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's
with
exciting. Margot Robbie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Margot Robbie.
Harley Quinn.
Is going to be...
Plays Tonya Harding.
So who's playing Nancy Kerrigan?
Who cares? No, actually. It should be... What's her face?
Who is
Molly,
it?
Molly, whatever her name. Sarah Polly. That's who it should be.
You know who could have played Nancy Kerrigan back in the day?
Who?
Heather Langenkamp.
Who?
Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, you know who else is Barbeau? Adrienne Barbeau?
Mm-hmm.
So that's her name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she could have played her.
Hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Back in the day, anyway. Not so much now.
Not anymore.
No. You know, I met her. She scowled at me. She wasn't very nice.
Well, it won't be the last time you receive that kind of scowl from people.
From a lady, I know. Tim Thomerson was super cool, though. Tim Thomerson was wonderful.
Did you give him a hug?
Tim Thomerson? No.
Okay.
He wouldn't let me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Wasn't that I didn't ask. It's just I was turned down.
Perhaps you weren't worthy.
I know. Okay, so NFL. I feel like they had a hockey comic too at some point, but I could be wrong.
Like Wayne Gretzky or something like that?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Remember when they did that all star?
It was like Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, and Wayne Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky, and there was one other.
They're like the main three.
Have you guys seen the 30 for 30?
Well, there's the baseball one.
30 for 30 on Bo Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's so great.
It's awesome. I love the Bo Jackson 30 for 30.
I did not watch that one.
Yeah, it's really great.
It's awesome.
I heard the Ric Flair one's amazing.
Oh, I was about to say it. I heard that too.
I didn't watch that one.
People told me that they were crying. They said it was so powerful.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to pull that up right after this. Watch that shit. We'll just make Jarrett wait. Sorry, Jarrett. He's playing hooky tonight.
You might be watching the documentary himself.
He could be. He probably already watched it, to be honest.
There you go.
He loved him some Ric Flair.
He did. Everybody loves Ric Flair now, anyway.
Kim even loves Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm gonna go to one here. Just because of the name, I couldn't...
Wow, I can't believe it actually says that.
His name is Dr. Hormone.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Debuted in Popular Comics back in 1940. Popular Comics number 54, actually, from Dell. Dell Comics. 1940. Created a character called Dr. Hormone. And again, this is from the League of Regrettable Superheroes. So thank you guys and gals that created this. It's wonderful. Dr. Hormone, there's a quote here. It says, "You want to stop death? I can stop it. I will increase the size of your army. I will make your soldiers immune to death." So says Dr. Hormone. And then he says, "I'll also make them horny."
Oh.
No, he didn't say that. But it sounded fun.
I bought it.
Say, for a Golden Age book, I can't believe that.
He was a very short-lived superhero, surprise, who briefly stood against the forces of tyranny in the early 1940s. And we all know that timeline, you know, the 40s, not exactly our finest moment in the world, so to speak. So there's a lot of this kind of stuff, a lot of superheroes popping up, fighting against tyranny, fighting against Hitler specifically.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, of course, from that timeline would be Airboy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows. I've talked about him 1,500 times, but Airboy's amazing.
And the Captain.
Captain America?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah. America. And Superman, even. Superman was very...
We could have ended the war on him very easily.
No, he couldn't, unfortunately. He could not. I don't know if they ever talked about why, but he just couldn't do it. It's too much. It's too much. He's like, oh no. Too much. So Dr. Hormone, he was an aged scientist who had spent the whole of his life studying the beneficial powers of hormones. I don't know why. Dr. Hormone, evidently his real name, by the way, is rejuvenated upon his deathbed by a youth hormone of his own invention, plus a spin under his Angstrom Ray machine. Now a fit and energetic young man of 25, the doctor and his granddaughter, Janie, that's Janie Hormone, one would assume, is what it says, brings the mighty power of hormones to benefit the world. Old women are made young again. Babies are grown into men. That's terrible, by the way. Yeah. Why would you want grown-ass baby men? I mean, we have enough of them, probably, I would imagine. Kim would agree with that.
Yeah, there's plenty on existing currently, so.
I'm so sorry.
Boy Scout troops are transformed into full-grown soldiers. Jesus. And an entire nation is transformed into half-animal, human hybrids to repel an invading army.
It's like the Island Dr. Moreau type stuff.
Yeah, it says he plays fast and loose with the lives of children and babies, which is what I was just saying.
Sounds like Animorphs slightly, too.
Yeah. Many other heroes would be proudly celebrated by a caption describing how he experiments on a dying infant. Yeah. Another brief, unusual element of Dr. Hormone's catalog of adventures is that he was an ongoing serial. Most comics at the time featured standalone stories in each issue. During a half dozen adventures, Dr. Hormone pitted the power of his transformative hormone pills first against the evil nation of Eurasia and its leader Rasanov, who had been transformed into a donkey man and nicknamed Asanov by his detractors. I'm not kidding.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
And then against an even more insidious foe, suitably dubbed Nazia, the aggressive warlike nation was the doctor's persistent enemy through the remainder of his adventures, which were probably few and far in between. Hmm. I just can't believe that this is a thing, but it had to be talked about. Dr. Hormone. Madman, one would say. Mm-hmm. Like, I would almost side probably with Asanoff and be like, look, dude, if you take this motherfucker down, he's experimenting and turning babies into like fully grown people, and he's turning Boy Scouts into soldiers and sending them out to die.
Yeah.
That, to me, is pretty disgusting. So, Dr. Hormone, go fuck yourself.
Would you tell it to his face?
If he was a person, absolutely. Mm. I'd punch him, probably, right in his mouth. Mm. Right in his hormone mouth.
Mm. Ha! Mm. Ha! Mm. Waka waka.
Waka waka waka. What do you got, Kevin?
I think I'll go to a character myself. I've always found her to be the most silliest character as far as the X-Men were concerned, especially watching the TV series back in the 90s.
Skittles.
And that was Jubilee.
Oh.
Jubilee, her real name is Jubilation Lee.
Jubilation Lee, yeah.
That's fun.
Debuted in Uncanny X-Men number 244 in 1989. And all, at least the 90s version. I know there's a modern version, but I don't care about that one. I'm talking about the 90s version. All she did was launch pyrotechnic energy blast. That's basically it.
I mean, back in the day, that would have been super fireworks. Useful. People would fireworks. Have been terrified of it. Now we're like, it's fireworks, yay.
But like, anytime she took on like a serious villain, she just basically tickled them, like the Juggernaut or something like that. It's like, oh, hoo-hoo, tickle, tickle. And you see his little pew, pew, you know, coming at you. It's like, really? What's that supposed to do?
I mean, if someone was shooting fireworks at me, I'd probably be slightly distracted for a second.
That's all it is. But at the end of the day, if you're a serious villain.
Here's the thing, though. She never did good. That's a procedure. She never did like good firework pyrotechnic type things.
Right.
It was just like stupid sparkle fireworks. She wasn't like, oh, here's a pattern of hearts and four leaf clovers. I'd be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like I went to Big Bear, and Big Bear's a mountain town in Southern California. And I went there for the 4th of July one year, and they did smiley face fireworks.
That's fun.
And then like hearts and stuff blew my mind. Yeah. Like, when I was a kid, it was just like, pew, you know, and then you did the fizzle ones, and you're like, ooh, fizzle ones. So you get bored with it. You know, you see 30-some, okay, I'm aging myself, 20-something years of fireworks. Yes, 20-something years. But no, like 30-something years of fireworks, of seeing it over and over and over again, the same ones. There has to be some ingenuity there.
Right. Some creativity.
Yeah, some creativity. So you would think that she would be a little more proud with what she's doing. There would be a little pride in her. Pride of the X-Men was an actual episode.
It was the pilot episode.
She was not in it, was she? She had no goddamn pride, Kevin.
No, instead of her, it was Shadow Cat.
It was
Kitty Pride instead.
Exactly. Mm. Because Kitty even had pride in her name.
Now, what's funny with her is, remember she used to wear like that weird yellow raincoat, it looked like?
Yes, it was like a... It was like the little kid from It that got pulled down. That would totally be Jubilee.
Yeah.
She'd be like, fireworks. And he'd be like, come on down. You know, he wouldn't care.
So to me, she was an outrageous, silly character.
Jubilee was. I did like Okay, so I did kind of like her in the animated X-Men, but only because she was the first character you met, and right. she kind of introduced you to all the other characters. So right. you saw everything through her eyes.
Right.
And as a young, on the cusp of teenagehood boy, seeing someone young on the cusp of teenagehood, you know, boy or girl, didn't matter.
It connected you.
Yeah, I related with that. And yeah. I was like, so it was very clever of them to use her in right. that manner. They could have easily used, you know, Kitty Pryde, Shadowcat.
Right.
They could have easily used her, but they chose Jubilee. And I thought that was a brave choice.
Plus, she was close to Wolverine, you know, Wolvie. That was like her nickname for
yeah,
Wolverine.
Yeah,
Wolvie,
that's true.
And, mm-hmm. So she was close to Wolverine. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, positively.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Great.
What you got? You got something?
Oh, I sure do. I figured in honor of The Punisher coming out on Netflix this Friday.
Ooh, la la.
On the 17th. I thought I'd bring up a dark past for it.
Oh, my goodness.
It turns out, back in August of 1994, The Punisher met Archie. As in...
That's right, he did.
Yeah. Riverdale, Archie. And the story goes, he was supposed to hunt down a notorious drug dealer named Red, and you guessed it, Red looked a lot like Archie.
Oh, boy.
And ensues the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, the Punisher was told not to kill Red. So thankfully, those were his orders in that. And he soon figures out his mistake, and then drug lords are after Archie / Red, and da-da-da-da-da. Surprisingly, though, this did very well time. It did. It was quite successful.
Surprise, Punisher didn't massacre all of Riverdale.
Well, because he was told not to. Hmm. In this specific mission, to not hurt anyone's feelings, he was told to, you know...
Well, also, I think it was more Archie than Marvel at that point. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Archie was like, okay, well...
Listen.
In fact, the creator, the original... I don't know if he was the creator, but the guy that operated Archie for fucking ever, by the way, never wanted Archie to change. He always wanted him to be very innocent and very... I don't want to say vanilla, but very vanilla. It was a very
yeah.
boring character. So... When he had passed away, his children, and this is pretty recent, this is like within the last 4 or 5 years, his children decided to start branching out a little bit, which is why we have the Riverdale series on the CW,
mm-hmm.
which is why we had Afterlife with Archie, which was the zombie apocalypse Archie. And if you have not read that, by the way.
I have not.
It hasn't finished.
I've seen it, though.
It hasn't finished because the artist, apparently, is just will not... I don't know why. It's not working out, and they just need to move on from him.
Mm.
But he's such a beautiful artist that it just flowed so perfectly. They've only done like 8 or 9 issues of it in the last 4 years.
Wow.
But they're so well done. Archie had a dog, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember the dog's name.
I don't either, but it was a little white puppy, right?
I teared up. Yeah, I teared up reading. They gave you the inside of the mind of the dog.
No.
As he protected Archie from a zombie.
No.
And died in the process. Save Master. Master, love me.
Oh,
love
no.
Archie.
Stop.
Love Master. Save Master. Bite man. Bite bad man. Oh, no. You know, and the man, like, bites. And then he's, like, eating him. And the dog's dead. And then it zombifies the dog eventually. But it was just fucking heartbreaking.
That's
and you're
super
like,
heartbreaking.
That's just a dog and Archie.
Right.
First of all, I could care of a shit less of anything with Archie. The Punisher was coming. I was like, good, kill them all.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But, like, for that to happen. But, in fact, they did recently also, they did the Predator versus Archie.
Yeah.
That was bloody as fuck.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, they did a Predator. I think, I don't remember yeah. if it was Betty or Veronica, but he pulled out the head with the spine attached.
How did Archie Comics approve of that?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, the new people behind the Archie comics was like, let's get a little bold. We don't have, like, a shit ton of characters here. Let's have some fun with it. Let's do some crossovers with people that want to do crossovers. Let's make Archie relevant again. Let's make him more adult. Let's make a teenage Archie. We can still have mm-hmm. the children's Archie, but let's make something for teenagers. Let's make something for adults. So then you had Riverdale, and then you had Afterlife with Archie. So you had all these versions you know, even Jughead now, I think he, like, turns into a werewolf, which is a most recent story.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, like, doing a lot of fun, creative things with the Archie world, which is very clever. And I think all of that stems from the first time they dabbled with that kind of stuff, which I think was the Punisher one,
mm-hmm.
the Archie versus Punisher.
Yeah.
So it's very clever. I was very impressed with that.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that, huh?
That's some powerful stuff.
I know. Very powerful stuff. You want to know about something else powerful?
Yes, oh, please.
Please tell us.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about a character that's near and dear to my heart, and particularly because I did find this comic book and for $6 now own this comic book. This is called Fat Man, the Human Flying Saucer by a company called Lightning Comics back in April of 1967. It came out. This is a story about a chubby white man in a green jumpsuit with a white cape, much like Captain Marvel's cape. And when he runs kind of fast, he can turn from a fat man into a human flying saucer.
Sweet.
It doesn't make much sense, but it's...
Yeah.
It's interesting, and I'll get into it here. Fat Man, one of his favorite sayings is, "Sorry, boys, but the scales are weighed in my favor."
Mm.
Weighed.
Get right.
It?
Yeah.
It's a fat joke, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, this is from the League of Regrettable Superheroes, so thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for that. It's C. Beck and Otto Binder were two of the key personnel responsible for making the original Captain Marvel. See, that's where we got the cape. The lightning-empowered Shazam, spouting world's mightiest mortal, one of the most popular superheroes, not only in comics, but around the world. Now, Captain Marvel, by the way, for those that don't know, was so popular that he rivaled that of Superman
lawsuit.
In sales.
Lawsuit.
Exactly. Well, yeah, once he started to rival that of Superman in sales, and Captain Marvel was from Fawcett Comics, DC Comics, which I don't know if they were DC at the time. They may have still have been, what was it? What's the other name for DC back then?
National Periodical Publications.
Yeah, National Periodical, that's right. But it probably was DC Comics then, back then. But anyway, they were sued by DC because DC was like, hey, wait a minute, Captain Marvel's too much like Superman. And they just basically sued Fawcett Comics into oblivion and then purchased the rights to their characters.
Hmm.
So that is how Captain Marvel in the 80s became part of the DC Universe. But anyway, these guys that were responsible for it, one of the most popular superheroes, also not to be confused with Captain Marvel from Marvel's Captain Marvel. It's the weirdest thing. Captain Marvel from Marvel Comics, DC had Captain Marvel first. They purchased the rights from Fawcett, and they had Captain Marvel. But they let the rights to the name lapse.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel Comics,
ooh,
right?
The 60s took advantage.
Shit.
They jumped on that shit.
Of
because
course
they're
they did.
Marvel Comics. How could they not have a Captain Marvel?
Mm-hmm.
So then they created Captain Marvel with that name.
Man.
So DC could not put the title of the character on the front page of the comic, on the cover. They could not put Captain Marvel Comics. So what they did to get around that, the wizard that gave Captain Marvel his powers was Shazam. So they would always title it The Power of Shazam, the wizard. And it'd be like, The Power of Shazam gave Captain Marvel, you know, his mighty Marvel power. And inside the book, they could call him Captain Marvel. But on the
right.
on the cover, nope. Whereas Marvel Comics was like Captain Marvel on the comics and inside Captain Marvel on the inside. So you had two Captain Marvels running around. Yeah. So in the 1950s, they were lean for superhero comics across the board. 1950s also was the spawn of EC Comics.
That's right.
EC Comics being horror comics. Horror comics were huge. Horror and romance and Western in the 50s hit big.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because everybody was tired of war. Everybody was tired of superheroes. They got
yeah.
burnt out. They didn't want
sounds
that.
Sounds familiar.
They wanted more realism. To yep. be honest, and that sounds silly, but, you know, Jane, I love you. I love you, Marty. You know, that kind of stuff mm-hmm. resonated with the kids back then, so they were into that more.
Love and blood.
Right. But in the 60s, what happened? What happened in the 60s? There's a big one. Think about it. Exactly. In the 60s, the Batman TV show revitalized interest in superheroes.
Oh, wow.
It basically brought back the popularity. And I think, Kevin, there's a couple characters from Batman, villains, that never quite, I don't think they ever made it over, really, to comics. And if they didn't, they weren't very popular.
That's true. And one in particular that was one of my stupidest but favorite, one of my favorites from the TV show, one of my favorite old school actors, Vincent Price, played Egghead.
So it was Vincent Price with a ball cap, yeah?
Pretty much.
Yeah, and he carried around eggs or something?
Yes, and he always had these puns he would use, you know, excellent.
Oh, God.
Or exactly.
Oh,
that's great.
Right? Yeah. Or he had like tear gas eggs.
I crack me up. I don't know.
Yeah,
he
had laughing gas eggs, tear gas
eggs. I would imagine at some point they were in a giant frying pan.
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That had to happen. Yeah, that had to happen.
I mean, if you're, you know, gotta at that point.
Right. So with the revitalization of Batman, you know, and superheroes in general, Beck and Binder, the creators of Captain Marvel, chose to reunite for another attempt to catch lightning in a bottle. As it were, of course. The result of their collaboration was the absurd Fat Man, a plump but athletic character named Von Crawford, who was happy to spend his idle time indulging his many and varied hobbies and collections. When a spaceship, also a shape-changing alien, crashes within sight of his daily constitutional, Crawford rushes to its aid. He is rewarded for his efforts with the power of transforming himself into a UFO. He then, of course, decides he's going to be a superhero and fight crime as Fat Man, the human flying saucer. It's a very interesting book. It's actually, it's quite a beautiful cover for those of you like myself that are very much into the history of comic books and the absurdity of some of the characters. But it just shows him, you know, this little fat guy running with little boop, 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 like dust clouds behind him. He's running really fast and he just slowly turns into a flying saucer. And he just says, "Change to the human flying saucer," in order to fight evil, as one would do. So I would imagine if I could change into something, I don't know what I would change into. Okay, so that's a good question. What would you change into if you could change into anything, Kevin?
Do you only get one?
One. You only get one. You only get one.
Change into like a...
Yeah, what would you change into?
Probably
could be anything.
All right. A shadow.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you're
I mean, what happens when you don't have the sun though, or like?
Yeah.
Like that
know.
Seems like a.
That seems very generic. Okay. It's something better. Come
okay.
On.
Okay. Okay. A star.
You just sit. That's okay.
That's cool. What about you, Kim?
I
we got Kevin the Star over here.
Okay, so I love like the Animorphs books as a kid. And,
oh, okay.
There always was that one guy that like was stuck as the Animorph because he never moved out in time. But I thought like it would be cool to change into animal. And I think like probably like the most useful would like be a hawk. Like you're a predator.
Oh, okay.
You can fly. Yeah, yeah. You can go places.
I like that.
So that
I got
would be
one.
Mine.
I got one.
Well, you changed your mind.
I'd be a porcupine.
Ooh.
Okay. Porcupine. That's not bad. I was just looking up pictures of sexy animals on my phone and a porcupine was on there.
Think about it. You could be cute and and prickly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And no one can eat you because, like, oh, man, if I try to eat that guy, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
That's very true. I think if I could change into anything, I would probably change into, geez, that's a tough one. I would say I always loved the Transformers growing up, but yeah. I really also liked the Rock Lords. Which
the
were like
GoBots.
The GoBots. They were like, okay, so the GoBots weren't very popular, but I always felt like the Rock Lords. And I don't. And correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a movie. I remember going to a theater to see the Rock Lords movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a Rock Lords movie, and it was for me. It was so cool. There was a gold nugget dude. He could turn into back into a robot humanoid, but then he could turn into a gold nugget. I feel like that would be very instrumental for me, especially right now, mm-hmm. Being a young man, very young man, in his early 20s.
Yes.
Yes.
Established.
Right.
Who somehow growing remembers up, all these 80s cartoons.
You shut your whore mouth, Kevin. Growing up in Los Angeles here and trying to make it in the show business, I think that if I could just turn into a rock lord and that was a gold nugget and just mm-hmm. like dust off a little bit of myself.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, monetary reasons primarily.
I mean, like, I thought you were going to be like, here's a gold nugget, and then transform and like walk out. Like,
no.
Okay.
No, I'm strictly for myself. I mean, obviously my friends would benefit as well. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if I could shit gold nuggets. Like, if I'd be like, they'd be like, shit your pants right now. And I'd be like, no, shit your pants. No, shit your pants. I need some gold. No. Okay, fine.
Why don't you turn yourself into an ATM? That'd be even easier.
That's a good point.
Well, man.
That's not as creative, though.
Yeah.
I like the gold nugget, like, pants shitting gold nugget.
By the way, I was wrong.
Because you know what our sponsors today.
Yeah,
are.
Yeah.
It turns out that Egghead did have a couple of comic book appearances.
Oh, really?
Batman, Shadow of the Bat, issues 3 and 4. He's an inmate at Arkham Asylum.
Oh, you know what? I always got that confused. I think it was a character, Humpty Dumpty or something like that. I always got that confused.
Childhood book.
Yeah. Oh, I know, but they did it in comic book.
And then also Gotham Academy number 14, he appears as Professor Egghead.
Because they did Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Mm-hmm. Oh, Gotham Academy. So that's recent. That's very recent. Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. But there was another one, too. There was like a King Tut or something like that, or what was his name?
Another character from Batman?
Yeah, from the TV series.
Yeah, King Tut.
It was a King Tut, yeah. They had Maxie Zeus in the comic books, and Maxie Zeus was amazing. Talk about a nutter. Okay, Maxie Zeus was just a character that was insane and thought he was a god.
I like it.
And he had a lot of money apparently and influence, and he would just be like, just pretend I'm a god, you know, I am Zeus. And the people were like, okay, Zeus, all right, we'll go do the thing. Yeah. You know, like, to me that would be like, you know, you're working for a madman, but at least he's not going to kill you. So it's like working for the Joker, but not working for the Joker. You're working for somebody right. crazy, but somebody that's not going to kill you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They're just going to be like, I will no longer grant you with the power of lightning. Mm-hmm. You know?
And you're like, oh, shoot.
Oh, darn, Zeus. Okay. You know? And if you wanted to just bail, you'd be like, well, the guy's nuts anyway. He needs the help.
Yeah.
Zeus was great. Maxie Zeus was great. And I just picked up his first appearance here this year, actually.
$50?
No, it was a Batman family comic, and it was like $16, something like that.
That's it.
No, yeah, that's it. It was well worth it. Well worth the price of admission, ladies and gentlemen. That one, prospecting-wise, I'm not going to say it's going to go up, but if you're a fan of, like, crazy Batman villains and characters, that's one to own. Anyway, that was that. Who's next? Do we have one more? One more in us?
Yeah.
Okay. Hit us.
So I found a character in the DC comic worlds called Arm Fall Off Boy, and I just really appreciated the name of that.
Wow. Okay.
His first appearance was in Secret Origins, Volume 2, Issue Number 46, in December of 1989. His alter ego is Floyd Belkin. And as you can guess, his superpower, or I don't know, ability, is he can detach his arms and make them into clubs. Uh-huh. And that's what he has. So he uses them as blunt weapons in a time of terror. And that's it.
And that is his power.
I just really appreciated that he was called Arm Fall Off Boy, because that's what he does.
So if you met a gentleman like that on a date,
yeah,
how would you react?
Well, if somebody stole her purse and he was like, wait a minute, and he pulled his own arm off and beat the person over the head to give it back, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Scary, but cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he was okay at the end of the day, like, he could put it back, like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You reattach him.
Yeah. Although they do kind of look, like, spiky. Like, that might be concerning if I met him and he had these just, like, spike clubs arms. I'd be like, what is that?
Weird.
Yeah.
That just looks like hair follicles that got infected.
Oh, no. So, see, then that's a hard pass for me.
Hard sell.
Yeah.
If I had arms that were spiked like that, I don't think I'd go out in public so much, let alone date. You remember that He-Man guy? He was all purple, right? And it was just spikes all over him. Mm-hmm. No one wants to hang out with him. He hangs out. Well, actually, I take that back. Him and Skunk Dude, Skunk Man, or whatever. And Moss Man probably, because Moss
Beast
Man.
Beast Man was cool.
Beast Man was cool. He didn't hang out with them.
That's true.
Beast Man was like cooler. He was cooler. He hung out with like Trap Jaw and shit.
So Evil Lyn wouldn't date those guys.
Fudge no. Hell no. She wouldn't date those guys. She definitely wouldn't date Skunk Dude or Skunk Man or whatever. That guy stunk. Like, even when you bought the figure, they made the figure smell.
No.
Yeah, they made it smell kind of like a
skunk. No, that's worst fucking thing ever.
You could always find it in your toy box.
Oh my God.
Always, because it smelled. Yep.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That is seriously disturbing.
Not
I don't
joking.
Like that fact.
Yeah. But Moss Man was kind of fuzzy and was like ripply and like weird texture.
Okay.
So I think you would take that toy if it's worth $1,000 now, wouldn't you?
You know, honest to God, probably not. If it's going to stink up like my house, no.
I would.
That's not.
I would. Totally. I'd have like 12.
I'm a big smell person though. Like smells weird.
$10,000?
Am I going to sell it immediately?
You could.
Probably within a month.
Then fine.
Okay.
Stick it in.
Just have to sit on it for a little bit. You know who I bet who would buy it? Fabian.
Oh my goodness.
I bet he owns like 12 or 13 of those goddamn skunk men. He probably rubs them on himself before he goes out to like drinks with
friends. You're inviting trouble. You know that.
I am. Bring it, Fabian. I ain't scared of you.
Yeah, I think he could whip your ass.
And I eat pieces of shit like him for breakfast.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Wait, what? All right. Well, I think this concludes, ladies and gentlemen, our most recent podcast of the Real Short Box. Again, please look for us on Instagram. Look for us on Twitter.
On YouTube.
On YouTube. Well, we're delightful there. On Facebook and on
Instagram.
I said that, but that's okay. iTunes. iTunes works.
Yeah, Twitter, works. Right?
I said that too.
All the things. I wasn't paying
attention.
We're just
going to, say it over again.
Okay.
So just find us, love us, take care of us. Invite us into your home. Cook us dinner. I need dinner, please.
Make me. I'm so hungry.
Ramen noodles.
That's fine. Just cut up some hot dogs in it. It's a delightful meal. It's a treat. Anyway, with that, thank you for listening, and we will see you
next time.
And at the comic shop.